We have a wheel like a Blitz 03.
Yeah.
That's very sought after, extremely expensive to buy brand new, not being created anymore, and they make a wheel that's similar because people just want it. And they're giving people an avenue to get not just a knockoff. It's an actual Forge 3.
Quality's still there.
It's still there. Yeah. What is up, everybody? Welcome back.
This is the Late Night Motor Club,
the only podcast you care about. I am Alex.
I'm Steven.
And I'm Tyler.
Welcome back. Today is going to be the dreaded, mandatory, every car podcast has to do this episode.
Has to.
Reps.
Yep. Sorry, I tried to do it at the same time.
I said episode.
Episode.
Anyways, this episode's about reps. So we're going to go from there. And do you want to start off just... basic, because I think we all know where this is going. So
let's go basic. Because when we say reps, I feel like commonly in the room, all three of us go to the same place. And the majority of you sitting at home are probably thinking of the same thing.
I hope.
Wheels.
Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah.
Oh, what were you thinking?
That they're garbage, but okay.
Go ahead. Whoa. Go ahead. Starting off a little spicy.
Always, dude. Always.
Okay, so reps, we're gonna define them real quick, real here.
We're really killing it today, dude. All right,
we are here.
Yeah.
No, but reps we are going to define as a part that is replicated and imitated for an exact copy of a product that somebody else has already made and reselling for a cheaper price. And we'll say a bunch of other things about that. But at the basic bare bones level, it could be anything. Could be parts, wheels. I don't know.
It's anything. Not just with like automotive stuff. Like it's so diverse in terms of it's happening everywhere where people are making replicas because they know it's a good selling product and they're replicating it because they know that they can be profitable off of it. So
yeah, like half of you out there rocking fake Gucci slippers. Might as well just get the real thing. They're only what, $200?
Couldn't be me, Doc. couldn't be me.
But I would say one big replica market that's in the automotive industry would be the wheels.
Yeah, wheels.
Definitely what people talk about the most.
Yeah, sure. Because you want to know why? I think it's the most accessible and the easiest thing to overlook if you have no idea what the you're doing.
Yeah.
Because
that was my first. Yeah.
You're gonna be like, these are sick.
Oh, those look sick.
I'm going to get
these.
You're going to slap on your STRs and you're going to be like...
Well, first, you look at the wheels you really want and you're like, those are so sick. And then you find the price and you're like, that is not sick. And then you find one that like kind of...
They got these on eBay for $500.
Exactly.
I'm going to buy these.
Kind of looks like it. So you're like, yeah, this is a quarter of the price. So I'm going to get it. And then you later down the line find out like, oh, shit.
This is not the move.
Because to get those lower prices, it has to be manufactured at a lower quality. That's why the price is so...
It's got to. I can't imagine. There's just like not a physical way that these people are producing the same quality of part in a replica and mass produce at a cheaper...
Well,
it just doesn't work.
With these wheels, one defining factor is the difference between cast wheels and forged wheels.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference between the two is cast production. You can mass produce for a much cheaper rate compared to forged. With forged wheels, you're pretty much cutting out of a block of metal. Versus cast, it's cast form in pretty much like a heat press in a way, to where the quality of the actual wheel when produced cast isn't going to be as strong. To where if you've seen people, let's say, destroying cast wheels, they crack. Versus forged wheels, they bend. And that's just the durability aspect of how they're produced, to where cast is going to be so much cheaper to produce, but they're not going to be durable like how forged wheels are.
I have something to say. I want to call myself out right here because I just said... Yeah, I'll take this back because there's probably a lot of you guys out there in the comments, oh, what do you mean you can't produce at the same quality? You might, maybe, like Steven was just saying with cast wheels, you might be able to produce some of these wheels at the same quality and produce it for a lower price point. But the biggest thing I would say that's a takeaway is the price for intellectual property. And we could probably get down, like, touch more than that down the road. But the intellectual property of somebody creating something themselves and coming up with it is like you're paying for the design. You pay for Gucci, Louis Vuitton, and all these other name brand things out in the world that people may relate to because of the designer who came up with that. When you buy a Pandem wide body kit, you buy it because of the designer and the creative minds behind that to get that kit, not for the dude who bought that kit or the company who bought that kit, made molds of that kit, produced them in some God knows where, and then is shipping them out to Joe Schmo down the street buying that kit.
God knows where.
40% less.
The tough aspect behind that is you're going to have these people that they want to rock this Rocket Bunny kit, or they're going to want to rock these BBS RS wheels, but they literally cannot afford it. But they want to look the part. They're going to find any possible way to look the part because that's what they care about. And then they're going to buy the cheaper part to get them that look. And then they're going to, in a way, flex it like they have the actual thing.
Yeah, that's a poser.
That is a poser.
That is literally the definition of a poser.
We'll label it right here. Yeah. Put it on the screen. Poser. Late Night Motor Club.
At the end of the day, well, first off, disclaimer. Don't take anything we're saying personal. This is just strictly our opinion. We're just talking.
Right.
But maybe. To go on to that.
Maybe take what I say personal.
Just him. You could DM him.
Speaking directly at you, Doug. Yeah.
Damn, now I lost my train of thought.
Sorry.
Okay, ooh. Well, let's just pick it up and say, we are not trying to light you on fire if you're rocking reps, dog. But if you're repping reps or you're rocking reps and you're like, these are real, bro.
Don't flex it like they're real.
Or if you're butthurt at a show because they're like, you got a 3 out of 10. Your wheels are fake.
Or you don't get in.
If you enter a show and you get rejected, and the reason why is because you have rep wheels and you don't have real wheels, don't be disappointed or angry at the show that you didn't get accepted.
Yeah, congratulations. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's like a show is for cars that are at a certain level that people want to look at them because of the work and all that kind of stuff that went into it. And
let's make this a little more relatable. Alex, do you play in the NFL?
No.
Do you belong anywhere near a professional NFL football field?
Not even professional, but no. Yeah.
I don't want. The statement is right. You shouldn't be there because you're not a pro. You shouldn't just be able to walk on the field and play it. You could sit at home and watch it, just like all these people who got rep wheels. You can watch the show and walk around. You just can't be in it.
That might be gassing us up a little too much. We are definitely not the NFL.
I'm not saying we're the NFL. I'm just giving I'm giving somebody something relatable, okay? You get me? They watch it at home. They can't play in it. They get the concept.
Yeah. It's all about the...
And it's not like a competition like, oh, who has the most expensive wheels? That's not like the point of this. The point of this is it's a matter of you showing off something it's not the legit thing and claiming it is.
Even if you're not claiming that it is, it's just like not sick. Like, I hate to put it that way, but this is not cool, dude.
Alex is just going to flame you. Like, see, I'm not even flaming.
Like, this is just,
I'm more so supportive.
Common knowledge.
I get it if you're balling on the budget and you want wheels that look like this. You can't quite afford the real thing. And you know what? You're not in it for the show. You're not in it for whatever. You just want to get it because you think it's cool and this is what you can afford. Or, to be quite honest, maybe you're not even a super huge enthusiast and you're just like, I'm not really willing to front out that type of money. I bought these wheels, bought them on eBay. I think they're cool. That's it.
The thing is, there's going to be options that are very, very affordable, but they're not made by rep companies. They're just budget cast options from reputable brands.
And right, a lot of the time, it's the same price.
It's the same price.
Or a couple $100 more expensive. Yeah. Sometimes it's like $100 more cheaper or $100 more expensive a wheel. Like a prime example the other day, Cosmo Racing wheels?
Cosmos
Racing wheels, right? The knockoff from them, I can't remember what the brand is that made off knockoffs from them, but I think those wheels are like $300 something a piece, and the knockoffs are $250.
Mm-hmm.
It's like spend the extra $100 per wheel. It's like, and the, get, well, the real thing.
It's, do a little bit of research with it, where it's like you're gonna be spending some money on some stuff. Mm-hmm. Do a little research. If it's a matter of saving one more month, two more months to have something that's a little bit more reputable than, let's say, a set of STRs or XXRs.
Yeah.
It's a matter of, like, you're obviously buying wheels because you care about the look of your car.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you care about the look of your car if you're, yeah, like...
It's like Tyler said, I definitely agree, where it's totally not the end of the world, not that big a deal if you're not that into it. Yeah. But that's exactly, like, if you have reps, I assume you're not that into it because, like, it's just like the culture of it.
I think we have the problem is where you play the part of, like, you're a huge enthusiast, you're taking pictures of your car, you think it's the hardest thing on the planet, and you're like, bro, look at all this, that, whatever. And then when you go front at the show, you're like, oh yeah, my build's super sick. And then, like, you come around, it's on XXRs. It's like, guy. Yeah.
Or plot twist here, you have a set of reps that look like BBSRSs, and you have BBS center caps.
Oh, real center caps. That is
the biggest offense. Yeah.
Or, yeah, like like the TE37 reps.
Yeah.
The Verstone, or whatever the they're called. Thousands, whatever it may be.
And, yeah, then they
and
still...
then you put the Volk Racing spoke sticker.
My favorite part is when they do that and then buy the, not the authentic sticker, buy the sticker from eBay.
Even the rep sticker. And
there's a rep sticker too.
There's rep stickers. Yeah.
You can go on.
Oh, you
eBay
learn something every day.
It's crazy. Yeah.
There's rep.
It's great. Oh my God. When they have rep wheels and rep stickers, you're like,
they've literally found a way to replicate any possible thing, huh?
One thing I learned at a really, like, really early in owning a brand and whatever is, like, some of these companies get ripped off, like, down to the stickers on, like, eBay. There's, like, tons of, like, fake Circuit Soul, all this stuff where it's like, oh, what? Like, I can't even wrap my head around it. But.
Fun fact, I had to send a cease and desist to somebody who's using my pictures and my car for their rep company.
Hell yeah.
And it wasn't, and they were trying to sell parts using my brand image, I guess you could say, mm-hmm, on eBay. And I was like,
yeah,
take that down.
Major L.
Yeah, that's a no-go for me. I think, given that that part wasn't a wheel as well, that goes into another thing with reps where it's like, it's not just wheels.
That's what I was going to say too.
It's not just wheels. It goes in body kits, other parts, like whatever it may be.
I think it's the biggest offense is wheels. Why? Because you can see it and you can clearly tell. Sometimes, ooh, on a body kit,
it's harder to tell.
If somebody does a lot of body work to a fake kit, you can't tell sometimes.
Like, there's plenty of FRSs that I'm sure have replica, like, Rocket Bunny kits.
And I wouldn't be able to tell.
You wouldn't be able to tell.
Yeah, the kits are definitely way harder to tell just because it's hidden underneath wrap or paint or whatever. And there has been, like, modifications.
There has to be body work to it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. If, I mean, I've seen some that there's not. And you're like, what are you? Anyways.
Yeah.
I think this is an analogy I used a long time ago. And it's definitely, like, blown out of proportion in both ways, so don't take it in the wrong way. But to break it down to someone who, like, isn't a car person, I describe it as the reason we don't want to see reps or rep kits or all this stuff is the same reason that you would go to the Louvre to see the Mona Lisa instead of looking at a printed out picture of it.
Yeah, oh, that's a very good explanation.
Like, obviously, yeah, these wheels and all this stuff is not the level of art of, like, the Mona Lisa and all that.
Yeah, whatever. And the way that you just wrecked me for my NFL reference. It's the same thing.
Yeah, no, it's the same thing. Maybe I didn't get it because not a sports guy. So,
yeah, and nor am I. I was just like...
Relate it to a painting. Nice, Alex. Anyways.
Relate it to a multi-million dollar painting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. But that's how I look at it. Yeah, I'm the same. This isn't the real thing.
XXRs? Mona Lisa.
And into that same point, if you were to look at a printed out picture, you'd probably just be like, eh.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
It's, like, not that great.
The emotion you get from the printed out pictures, you're like, this is a piece of paper. I do not give a shit about this, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, the painting, you're like,
oh my
God, that's actually it. Like, that's the one I've always seen. That's the one I've always wanted. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, no, I don't know who wants the Mona Lisa, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, you get it.
And but the hard thing is, like, that's tough when people make these parts look exactly like the real thing.
Such a cheaper price. Yeah.
With such a cheaper price to where the normal person or whoever looks at it won't be able to distinguish the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually think that you actually have the real part on the car, but it's not.
Yeah, so
it gives this fake perception that, oh, you spent all this money on this when you didn't, but then you're still claiming it to where it's like, you see guys put it in their bio where it's like, my Rocket Bunny car, and then it's like not a Rocket Bunny car.
Put eBay wide body on your bio, bro.
But there's no, so with that, and having, let's say, a knockoff, make another example, Rocket Bunny wide body kit.
Yeah.
Fine. Rocket eBay Rocket Bunny kit.
Mm-hmm.
But don't say it's a Rocket Bunny
if that's,
kit.
Right. If that's
like,
what
say
you
it's
want.
A Rocket Bunny style kit, or exactly. Just say it's.
Yeah.
Or just don't call it anything. Just say it's wide bodied.
Yeah. Right.
Just don't lie. Like,
I think. A big problem, too, and probably a lot of people sitting here are like, well, screw you guys. I don't want to spend that kind of money.
You're this more than welcome to think that. Like, that's fine.
This is cheap. This is cheaper. Why would I spend $4,000 on this kit when it's $1,000 on eBay, bro? Yeah. Come on, no.
Which,
no.
Like, that's a freaking deal. Like, $1,000 for a body kit instead of $5,000, that's a deal.
But I want to go back to the intellectual property thing, and I want people to actually understand not just supporting a brand who comes out here and do this. A lot of times what you guys have to understand, too, with parts like this and replica parts, the shit kicker here is that somebody spent a lot of time, money, effort, research, and design to come up with this thing. And sometimes that goes through a lot of testing, mm-hmm. and that requires money. And then, like I said before, development. And so when a brand takes all this time and effort and resources to produce this singular part, and they know that it works, and they took all and eliminated all the other factors for all these other brands because they know that this is tried and true, tested, it works, and then they just take that idea, didn't spend any of the time in research, and just say, I'm going to just change it to 10% or whatever it is for your trademark and copyright technicality rules, and then I'm going to just sell it to these people for much lower. The thing that sucks here is a lot of times these replica brands will outsell the real parts that these companies did. So that beloved look that you're going after, sometimes it's that company struggling because this replica brand over here is making a ton
taking
of money.
All their business.
Well, before we dip into business, one thing you touched on was development. And one thing that I want to mention is when these companies are first producing this part, they're spending a crap ton of money on R&D. They're looking at safety. They're looking at how can I make this the best possible product for the consumer. That's why the kit or wheels or whatever part is so expensive, because these companies are spending a crap ton of money in development and R&D. What are these rep companies doing? They're
just stealing.
Literally just taking the look and then producing it as cheaply as can be. Yeah. So they don't have safety in mind. They don't have quality in mind. They don't have fitment in mind. They have none of that in mind. All they're trying to do...
Besides your money.
They just want your money, and they want quantity.
Yeah.
Versus the original companies, they're trying to push safety, quality, and then fitment, whatever it may be, to give a solid product. That's why they're legit, and that's why they're real. So next time thinking about kind of if you should save up for the real thing or if you should just buy the cheap thing, think about what you're putting on your car. Thinking about what's going to be safer, what's going to be more quality. Think of the fitment as well, because if you buy, let's say, a eBay body kit or front lip or spoiler,
famous for bad fitment,
it's not going to fit the way it should. Exactly. And that's because it's not the real thing. So you might actually have to spend more money to fit that eBay part or that rep part, mm-hmm. just because it doesn't fit initially, where you could have used that money just to buy the real one.
Yeah, right. I totally agree. I think especially like going off the intellectual property, I think that's almost, to me at least, way more important than the safety, because
Alex said, fuck it, I don't care if it breaks.
I mean, yeah, if I'm going in a
dance guy does not care about safety. Surprise.
If I'm going in a ditch, I'm already going. It doesn't matter. But yeah, I think just the theft of the art that goes into the back end of designing these things, and for someone to just be like copy paste something, I think that's like just the most disrespectful thing in the world.
Yeah, you know, it's something that you touched on and you just said it and it just lit me up was art. And very much so, because I value my cars as an extension of myself and the way that I express myself. And to name a huge person who does this, RWB, that whole thing, I look at these projects as art. They are a form of art. They're beautiful, beautifully made machines, right? And for somebody to steal that and replicating that, it's much like your Mona Lisa reference, like printing it out on a piece of paper.
Yeah, and also, like, when you have, supporting these companies and everything, and, like, having the backed history connected to them, you just feel, like, way more proud to have that on your car. You feel way more, it's just an overall better experience. Installs go smoother. It looks better. It's just better. Yeah. And it's like, that is what you pay for. But, and you know, that was kind of going nowhere. I didn't know how to word it. This is a tricky topic to, like, dance around, because usually I talk about this extremely aggressively in, like, a joking manner, and I'm trying to be more
nice.
Serious about it. Yeah, nice. Yeah, I'm trying to be nice. So,
And at the end of this, we're not trying to wreck people sitting at home who are rocking reps. Like, the dude who's all hyped about our podcast, has reps on, turned it on, lit, and he's like, fuck these guys.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not that, to me, it's honestly, like, it is not the end of the world if you do choose to do that. But just know, like, it really isn't much more expensive to get real parts. You might just be influenced by some stories you heard, or some inflated price you saw on a website somewhere.
I also think this is part of growing. Some of you out here may not know this. Alex and I both, and I'm not sure if Steven, we have formerly came from reps.
Yeah.
It's part of learning. Sometimes you don't know. You get into the scene, you get these things, and you're like so hyped. And 2 weeks later, unfortunately, you find out it's not sick.
It's the golden rule that, I mean, I think is true. Every car guy or car person is allowed one set of reps, where you got way too excited, you didn't really know how anything kind of worked, and you just bought some, and then you're like,
ooh,
ah, all right, next time I'm going to correct this.
Yeah, I was,
Do you have reps?
No.
Damn. This guy just went straight to bags, never had reps. He's just like the textbook golden child.
You know what, Alex, you want to know why?
What?
Because I think he's a Euro kid. And the reason why I say that is because the Euro community is diverse, with a lot more...
much more tasteful.
I'm not even going to go here. I'm going to say
go paint your window. Yeah,
transcends through generations, where there's a lot of older dudes who are in the Euro scene, and you can learn from us coming as stance kids. We're like, and there's a bunch of other 16-year-old kids who are like,
No, I think it's way more.
I had a lot of good influence from my peers, to where I had a lot of good advice, direction, if I were to say.
I feel like the Euro community is slightly older, which helps, and also, like, slightly more mature in styling, in the way that, like, it's very detail focused and very, like, quality focused.
It's not just like,
it's not crazy focused.
Yeah, like, oh, just throw all this stuff on it to get this certain way, where it's like, okay, let's focus on the clean aspects of, like, cleaning up the car, styling aspects.
When a lot of, like, the intro to the Japanese side of things, it's like, it's
everybody's learning together.
You're looking at it initially before you learn about it, in a way that's like, I'm just trying to make this crazy because everything else I see is crazy. And then later you learn, like, okay, the cars that I looked up to are actually built with all these genuine parts, and that's why my car doesn't look the way I thought it would, building it off the budget or cheaper shit.
I gotta steer this shit back around, because we're gassing up Steven too much. He's like, the Euro community is so good, bro.
I'll give it to him. He is the only one at the table who never had reps, so. But, I mean, if you do want to go there, you are on Rotiform, so.
Not anymore. I sit in my side yard.
Oh, yeah, just kidding. Okay. But I think that's pretty inclusive, and not too mean, you know?
Yeah, I don't think we are going too hard in the paint here, for sure.
Yeah. If you're going to get upset about it.
They already probably clicked off.
Yeah, also don't care, so. Suck me, dog.
Nice.
Yeah. Where do you guys want to take it now?
I kind of I don't know. I said what I had to say about reps. I think my nail is in the coffin. I think the thing is, too, where we can keep going about reps into the business side of things, and we talked about all the brand development things, a lot of times you don't even know, and we have it a personal experience here with everybody here a little bit, but I want to highlight Alex here with your mirrors.
Oh, I forgot okay? about that.
So replica things where you have a small business, somebody who came up with an idea, is a one-man show, you're trying to produce it, you think that it's cool, you have some success, people see it, they're like, that's sick, I'm going to make that too.
Copy-paste.
Copy-paste. Yeah. And now, the original creator idea of this concept, you, right?
Yeah.
Are not even thriving in that space. I'm not saying that negatively.
No, but I get what you're saying.
Because it's so polluted with all these other people who now decided they were going to do that too. And people who can, and brands, if you will, who can facilitate like mass production of your product.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
Definitely, this is totally not the same scale of what we were just talking about at all. I'm not trying to gas myself up like that or anything. Also, I'm not even gonna, whatever, I'm gonna skip that part. it does, this is what I was saying about like support the original creators or designers of something, because that did like hugely affect my profits from that, and like how it continued and what I decided to end up doing with it was all because of how it was taken and spread through other people, and a lot of people where their brands have like a very different image that necessarily isn't something like I would want to associate. And now the mirrors are associated with that, and I got to deal with like conflicting images, you know.
Yeah.
But it definitely does like even on a small scale, especially on a small scale, hurt the original business.
That was such a like big part of your business. That was the part of your business like at that time.
It exploded.
Yeah, it was the biggest thing that's ever happened. But
right. You've been rocking this brand for years and years and years, putting time, hours of dedication to try and finally make something pop off. You finally make something pop off. You have 20 other businesses that copy it and rip it off and just drown you right dead in the water. It's like
what I definitely dead on in the water.
Biggest takeaway here, kids and adults and everybody, if you got an idea, trademark that ish.
Yeah.
Or patent.
Patent pending.
I mean, I didn't come up with the mirror itself.
No, like, I'm just saying, you could patent the concept.
Yeah, you could patent the idea of putting
graphics inside and all that stuff. Yeah. But yeah, it's not fun, dude.
No, and that's another thing where it's like, I'm looking at it within myself as well, given that I'm creating the wide body kit and producing and selling it for the Mark 6 GTI.
Yeah, this is the best example.
Golf and Golf R as well. Yeah. So it's something where I'm looking at it as I'm creating a very, how should I say it? In my eyes, a very high quality kit that's going to be very in depth in a way.
And unique.
And very unique to where somebody might be like, oh, that looks so cool. Let me try to rip it off because it looks cool and it's selling.
How long, when from the very start till now, how much time and work have you put into it?
I started the process end of July.
Yeah, so that's a hot minute.
It's coming up on the next July.
Do you think that is nice if someone bought his kit, threw it into a mold, and was like, screw it, reproduce it. Now do you get it, bro?
Yeah. And you know what? There might be people sitting at home, Alex, saying, your mirrors? Somebody had made those mirrors before you put that thing on. So essentially, you're taking somebody else's thing and rebranding it as your own and doing this. And Steven, your wide body kit is taking some concepts from other parts from other kits and mixed them all together.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing is inspiration.
Yeah.
You can be inspired, right?
Yeah.
And not be copying. That's the thing.
Everything.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Like one big thing with my kit, like, yeah, I've had other kits that I've worked off inspiration from where, like, I'll say right now, Mark 7 GTI TCR race car, big inspiration. R35 Liberty Walk Silhouette GTR, big inspiration. And then a couple others as well where it's like I've looked at these different kits and I've really liked the style from them. I'm not copying them in terms of copying it line from line, angle from angle, but I'm incorporating certain aspects that I want to put my own twist on, but they give kind of a overall look where it's like the wider front bumper that has like two main body lines sweeping across it. Just something similar like that.
Yeah.
But they're not the same whatsoever, but they're similar because nothing is original. Nothing is. Everything's going to be similar in their own way. Nothing's going to be exactly original anymore.
This is where I think in like today's scene or like the younger crowd in the scene, even though technically we're not even like the old people yet, which is weird, but whatever. Mm-hmm. I think it's people are in the way of defending reps. They're using the excuse of seeing things that were inspired by other things in a still tasteful, legal, moral, blah, 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 everything right. way, and calling it a rep, even though, like, yeah, like exactly what you said, nothing is original. It doesn't exist. You can think you did whatever. It is physically impossible to create anything in today's age without being influenced by
something else, right?
Yeah, it's literally impossible.
Where it's like, example, there's BBSRSs.
I was just going
classic
there.
Mesh wheel. There's going to be wheels that look like BBSRSs. Yeah. They're not copied,
yeah.
But they're another mesh wheel.
Like
that's not a replica. I think we're going this. That's place. Inspired by it's a mesh design. You could only do so much with a mesh design.
Exactly. Like 326 has a mesh wheel.
Yeah.
Is that a copy?
That's
of the
a BBSRS,
RS?
Bro.
I would hear
replica.
Exactly. It was inspired by that. But I would definitely see some of these people in these comment sections in a similar way making that argument where it's like, well, if you're going to call this a rep, where are we drawing the line? This is a rep. And this is where 2 degrees from art school and design, I do know more than you, shut up. So that's where we're going with
this
it.
Is the only time that he gets to flex that art
then,
degree.
Straight up. I'm going to use it.
Then there's those people that are actually creating replicas, and then they're claiming it as inspired by. And yeah. It's just like, no, bro.
No,
that's
like,
a replica.
That's like straight copy-paste stuff.
Right. Where I do find it okay, though, is places like GMR, where you have a wheel like a Blitz 03.
Yeah.
That's very sought after. Extremely expensive to buy brand new, not being created anymore, and they make a wheel that's similar because people just want it, and they're giving people an avenue to get mm-hmm. not just a knockoff, it's an actual forged 3
yeah, like the piece. Quality's still there.
It's still there.
Yeah, that's where I think this discussion is super interesting, but I won't go too deep into it. But the sake of recreating for rarity purposes to have something almost like not die out that will inevitably die out. Like right. Eventually there are going to be no 240s left. There are no Blitz 03s left. Like, but companies that are making, I think it's a weird gray area right now, but I support it.
I think, okay. I just thought of this as well, where it's like, I'm contradicting what I've been saying in a way.
Oh no. Here we go.
So
reps are good.
You know,
change
like,
around at the end of this.
You know, like GT3 and GT4 race cars?
Yeah.
You know those like GT3, GT4 wide body kits that like you've seen on a couple like people are putting on cars and stuff like that?
Yes. Sure.
A lot of them are like replica kits to where somebody's producing a replica GT4 kit.
Yeah.
To where that's technically a replica of the race car kit, but it's something where you cannot physically buy that race car kit because it's a freaking race car.
Exactly. Like that's a similar debate like, where it's like,
that's tough
okay.
because I'm just contradicting myself.
Yeah.
But
right.
then
when
that's,
is
that's,
it okay?
But that's
right.
an aspect of like, you physically cannot buy that GT4 kit or GT3 kit off that race car.
Yeah. This like, it doesn't exist as a product.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, here...
Which,
yeah,
which then you can argue that you're not taking away sales because there are no sales.
Yeah, because it's not an actual product for sale.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the line with that,
but
where it's
then
not a product
is it,
for sale.
Again, is it a replica or is it inspired by?
It's a replica.
No, they say replica.
Yeah.
They say GT3
like it's
replica,
down to the inch,
kit.
Everything
yeah.
exactly the same.
Yeah.
But
RIP me, thought I was on a good one here.
Sorry.
But then a lot of... Like I've seen it both sides where... people have acquired like authentic GT3, GT4 kits from race cars that were decommissioned.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then they sell them at an astronomical price and don't even tell you because they don't want to set a value to them.
Like the red Lambo, Private Ryan. He has a Super Trofeo Huracan.
Yes.
That's an authentic Super Trofeo kit that he sourced from a actual race car, I believe.
Oh, that's crazy.
So there's that side, but then there's also the side where there's people that have produced a replica of the kit because it's a race car part.
There's this weird, any discussion around design inevitably leads to this collision of ideas where one person thinks one thing, the other person thinks another, but there is no like actual concrete evidence to support either one. And the only way to find the answer is through like time and experience, I think. And I think that's like the best way to put it, where the longer you're into this car stuff, you might not understand it right now. You might hate real stuff, think it's stupid to spend that money on anything. But I find that the people who are in it long term, eventually they come around because the knowledge eventually comes full circle to a point
where you can't ignore it. When I first got into things, I didn't start with like rep wheels or anything like that, where it's like I had some knowledge about it to where I didn't go into that right away. But I still didn't grasp, I guess, the full effect of real parts when I first got into it. So I still didn't understand it completely. I still bought a bunch of parts off eBay that like obviously wasn't real, or I cheaped out in certain aspects because it's like I was balling on a budget, and I had to because I didn't have the money to pay for stuff, but I wanted to make my car look cool. But then as I gradually built my car more and more, and then one big thing is I started taking it to show like bigger and bigger shows, and then also then to SEMA, like you can't be showing up with like, with rep stuff.
Yeah, it's not acceptable.
It's not. And it's not something where, don't take this negatively, but you will get looked down on if you show up to a show.
Because it's looked at as like you took a shortcut. Yeah. Like you skipped a step in order to get what you want faster while disregarding everything else.
Right.
Yeah. You're just like, I just want it now, instead of waiting, saving.
Like, look at it this way. You don't see people at the Met Gala rocking fake chains.
Yeah. But also, not every event is the Met Gala. You know? Right. It's a hard discussion to have, for sure.
It's tough.
It's very nuanced.
Yeah. And if you disagree with us, let us know. If you agree with us, let us know.
Yep. I would say, just to put everything into what I can best describe, I would say that like the people who traditionally support reps or try to defend them are the same crowd that eventually fizzles out of the car scene when they get older, because they're not actually that into it, which, like I said earlier, it's like the real parts are for the people who are like really into it, I think. Even though everybody should blah, 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 whatever.
Like I would say that kind of separates car people from car enthusiasts.
Exactly. Like people who are like, oh, I'm just going to modify my daily driver to look slightly cooler on the way to work versus someone trying to build like a show car.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that, because I would say, I don't know if like you guys or anybody agrees on this, but cars are very trendy now. Like they're very much more trendy than how they were 4 to 3 years ago.
As much as we all want to deny it, it definitely is. And it's because of TikTok. Social media, specifically TikTok.
TikTok
has given too many people access to everything.
Where now cars are a trend for people to get attention, to where they know like, oh, I could build a sick car and I could get a bunch of attention off of, where,
which even,
like, no hate to wide body FRS BRZs, but you literally could slap a wide body kit on a BRZ or FRS and you could have 100,000 followers.
Play your cards.
Don't Steven, don't put that in people's heads, because now they're doing math. They're like,
no, I want
BRZ.
No, do it.
Wide body kit.
Do it. There's plenty enough out there. You could add some more.
I would argue though that it's also a trend in the sake that like more people, even people who aren't like viewing it as like, oh, I could use this to get this. It is more just a general trend that people are more aware of it, and more normal people are getting into it, causing like there's no understanding of like history behind certain things,
yeah,
or like even like car show etiquette stuff, or
you got
just
a
everything.
Yeah,
it's like a lot of new people,
yeah,
all at once.
Yeah, yeah.
And I will have to say, to any of my buddies that have wide body FRS or BRZs or 86s, love you. Sorry. Shout out to you guys.
Yeah. Shout out to you guys. Yeah. Now I know we've talked a lot about rep wheels. We've talked a lot about rep parts. One thing I gotta say real quick, and I think the basis of the foundation is usually when you initially get reps is because you don't know.
Yeah.
Now some people, as we continue to progress through this, they understand the difference between a fake kit, real kit, fake wheels, real wheels. I think a lot of people who are still even in this space don't know real seats.
Yeah.
I see fake seats all the time paired with a bunch of real parts, and you're like, these are just not safe.
I think this is almost the biggest one, because like,
yeah,
this is like the wheels, you can argue there's a safety issue, but at least that's outside the car.
Right.
It's
not directly holding you strapped in.
Yeah, the seats, like a set of fake seats, you get into a car accident, dude, that's folding your spine like a piece of paper, no problem.
Well, with the seats,
yeah,
you're removing your factory seats that have factory airbags.
Mm-hmm.
With a seat that does not have airbags, mixed in with, if it's not a good seat to begin with, that's like,
yeah,
it's bad. That's
okay.
Bad.
While we're on safety, real quick, this has nothing to do with reps, but if you are going to take off your steering wheel and put a quick release steering wheel and rock a factory seatbelt,
harnesses,
please,
harnesses,
please.
Did I mention
harnesses?
This in
please.
A video before, but my friend Dakota had an Accord that his rep wheel, he hit a pothole, his rep wheel like shattered pretty,
yeah,
much, blew out his tire, crashed into the side of the wall, and then his rep steering wheel snapped and the spoke went into his head, and we all had to meet him at the emergency room. That is a real story. So if you think like, oh, it can't happen to me,
it sure can.
Everybody thinks that until it happens to you, and if you're playing the long game, that shit is just inevitable.
Like, if you're messing with factory equipment, especially airbags, which will save your life, just remember, you cannot predict when you're going to be into a life-changing accident.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot predict that. It's going to happen when you least expect it. So think twice when you're buying parts, rep parts, parts that remove airbags, whatever it may be. Think about your safety. At the end of the day, you're driving a big hunk of metal that could be driving like 100 miles per,
yeah,
hour. That could kill you like that.
Yeah.
So,
dude, and the first thing when you have a factory seatbelt, it has like some, it has some give and take, right? There's pull, there's an inertia reel in there. If that initiates a little too late and you put your dome on that plastic metal steering wheel that you got with no airbag, I'm pretty sure you're going to be like, damn, really wish I had an airbag now.
This is the one like subsection of rep stuff that I'm like, this is fully fine to bully people over. Like, people,
yeah,
need to learn the difference, because this is like major safety concerns.
Yeah,
yeah,
big time.
But I think we've said just about as much as we can say without being redundant about a bunch of stuff.
And this is
probably already worked.
Definitely
an hour-long podcast about us just,
yeah,
reps.
Like I said, every car podcast, this is inevitable. There will be an episode about reps.
Yeah.
This is ours.
And it took us a few episodes to get there, just because we didn't want like our first episode to be, oh yeah, we're going to talk about reps. How original.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But you got to do it. So
you got our opinion on it.
We hoped it was somewhat educational.
Yeah. If you have any input on what you think about it, let us know in the comments. DM us, whatever it may be. Let us know what you think.
Yeah.
But yeah, with that said, I think that perfect time to move into kind of our current events, and we're gonna kind of be doing a double doozy with the current events, talking about two small things this time around. So
yeah,
first thing we're going to talk about is something for you guys that who like SEMA. And in
surprise, we're talking about SEMA again.
My bad. SEMA Young Guns in particular. Battle of the Builders, the Young Guns category. Normally, it's 27 and under, which is ages 27 and under. They have just extended it to 29 years old and younger.
Nice. Now, what a big thing that this did for extending it is, one, it opens the gate for people to compete longer, and two, all the people for the last 2 years dealing with the Rona who took the time to actually build something, and maybe they aged out during that time frame. Oh, yeah.
So if you're 27 going through Corona and SEMA was bleh,
your chances, here's
your chance to redeem it, since you have till 29 years old now to compete as a young gun, which is definitely important, because one aspect that people don't realize with young guns and Battle of the Builders is with Battle of the Builders in the let's say the, I don't know how to describe it, the upper class categories where it's like hot rod, sports car, whatever it may be, the non-young guns categories, you could have a full team of builder or people working on the car with you. It's not just one sole builder working on those high class Battle of the Builders cars, but with young guns, you have to be the sole builder. You have to be the majority builder of doing all the work on the car. So that's what differentiates the categories between it, where young guns, you need to be the one doing the work.
Not just you doing the work. Okay. Typically, I'm not saying this goes 100%, but typically when you are the sole builder.
Wait.
Typically. The budget that you're going to compete against is much different. When you compete in the real big boy game at SEMA,
they're million-dollar cars.
You got cars that don't have budgets.
GG.
Where they're teams, not just the whole team aspect, but teams of people who don't have budgets.
Yeah.
When you're by yourself and you're trying to compete with that, you might as well just throw your car in the trash can, because no way you're going to be able to produce your car to the same level that these people can.
Like, I don't even got $100,000.
I don't even got a garage.
I got a
driveway. I don't even have a lift.
I bum driveways from people.
Yeah. See, but that's the cool aspect with Young Guns too, because it shows you how many of these guys are doing it so DIY in their driveway, in their side garage, whatever it may be. Where there's even a couple of the other Battle of the Builders, like in the legit categories, some of them are competing with the million-dollar builds, but they're just garage-built cars.
Yeah,
which awesome. It's super cool to see the diversity with it too, and it could show you the level of appreciation put into these cars that have limited budgets. Don't have the same space as some of these other like crazy builds as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty much an extra 2 years with Young Guns. Definitely cool. You're going to be seeing Tyler and I out there this upcoming year, part of the Young Guns. So
part of Young Guns. And maybe one day we can convince Alex and you'll see the three of us there.
I'm kind of good, Doc.
We'll at Less least bring him out to SEMA.
Yeah, I'll go. Yeah. I'm down to cruise it. I don't think I would ever
podcast SEMA. Let's go.
No, I'm down for that.
We can make it happen.
I don't think I'd ever build a car detailed enough to get into SEMA.
Dude, imagine doing a podcast at SEMA and then
in your car
trying to like just get as many guests on the show, just rapid fire podcast. Like,
oh, that'd be
all day long.
Dude, imagine the three of us crammed in your car. The cameras are all up against your windshield. We're all just talking. Okay.
Oh, my God.
No, bad idea. Okay. I thought it was sweaty. Great.
Okay. The next current event is a current event near and dear to all of our hearts, much like Reps. Fast and Furious Saga. They're doing another one, Fast and Furious 10.
God damn it.
If you haven't kept up since Tokyo Drift,
family.
There is six more of them.
Family.
Yeah.
But yeah, number 10. And it's tough because it's like all three of us, we grew up watching it. And it's something where it was a big part of like what influenced our take on modified cars and all that.
Yeah.
And then it got to a point where it just became an action movie.
Yeah.
They literally sent them to space last time.
Yeah.
What was I was so mad about that because they brought back I don't remember those names, but the two guys from Tokyo Drift. And they brought it back in the last movie. But they brought them back to build a rocket car to go to space.
Yeah, this is where I'm like, gonna head out.
Like, come on, man. Yeah. Like, that's where I'm hoping that there's some form of like heritage into Fast 10 or whatever they're gonna call it.
I'm hoping they're I'm not gonna lie, I've seen every single one of them. And I feel like I have to, no matter how bad they get. I have to see it. And this is what started a lot of people's career and a lot of people's interest in the cars was because this was just a such a well thought out saga of movies that just completely captured the car scene and period correct.
For the first time, real things. Like, to the public.
For the first time ever.
This is pre-internet, pre-social. Yeah.
And it was just awesome because they had a lot of time and research to get like real things, real parts.
Well, the tuner market, it was very niche. At that time of, what was it, the early 2000s? And at that time of when they released the first movie, it was something like crazy new.
Yeah,
that the general public, they're like street racing.
Underground street racing.
Modified cars, this and that. Yeah. It developed such a tuner market in the early 2000s where if you say early 2000s tuner market, everybody knows what that is.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody knows what type of cars.
C-West body kits, chrome one-piece wheels, a lot of nitrous, a lot of TVs.
And DVD players. Hit my ride type of style.
Exactly.
But that's what kind of introduced the tuner market to such a vast majority of people, too, which was so cool. And then...
Fast and Furious was the first TikTok, dude.
And then it was a sellout.
Yeah. I loved the first three. Don't get me wrong. Those are fantastic movies, even for like action movies. But I stopped watching after, I think the fifth one was the last one I saw.
When they like drove off cliffs and stuff.
Whichever
one. And they dropped cars out of planes.
The last one that Paul Walker was in when they did the split. That was the last one I saw. That's all I remember. But yeah, it just got to a point where it was like too much. Action garbage kind of stuff.
When they gotta keep saving the world and now they're starting to get away from, you know, that's the thing that sucks is they started getting away from like cool cars.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not that they don't do cool cars, they do these crazy exotic things and some of them are like armor plated rhino lined, I don't know, some crazy machine.
But it's so far from street racing.
Yeah, but it's so far from where it came
Imagine how successful it would be. If the 10th one was like, hey, screw all the momentum that we've been building in this action movie style, and we just brought back like a brand new OG, like grassroots type of Fast and Furious movie. That would be insane.
Which would be sick, and I think it would pop off.
But they're not going to do it because they're...
Actually, that's what we could talk about because they have a new director in the first time for how long?
Which,
hopefully the
which
last
might
five.
Be an even worse thing. Or it might be a really good thing. Well,
we also lost The Rock, and we replaced him with Jason Momoa.
Damn it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Just get rid of these. I don't know, bro.
It's all about celebrities, man.
Yeah, I'm pretty sick of it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, with that, I think that that sums it up for that.
Yeah.
So
moving into your late night call-outs.
And if you're new here and you're like, what's a call out? This is like a little section we like to do. Just try to share some love, show you guys some builds we're liking recently or even from a long time ago or anything like that. So.
Things that we're just messing with. Yeah. And I guess I'll go up first and I'll shout out the guy I am messing with hard right now. His Instagram. Oh, God. Can you guys not meme me?
Pause.
Go.
Go ahead.
Go.
Okay.
Who's your call out?
My call out is E Prime Dayato. And I may be ruining that, but this guy's from Hiroshima, Japan, I think. And yes. And he's building an absolutely beautiful AE86. And I just love this thing. It is a Pandem. It's got a Pandem wide body kit. He's doing a swap in it right now.
A real Pandem wide body, right?
Real Pandem wide body. And this thing is just is just immaculate. I am a sucker for 86s, and this one in particular is just doing it for me. Not only that, though, he has also built Sylvia. So that thing is beautiful as well, and it's a car that Alex would, I think, you'd like a lot because he's very, he's got the stancy boy things for you. But not only that, it goes fast.
Oh, gross. No, okay.
Yeah, it's got, I think it's got an RB in it.
Oh,
so,
sounds sick.
Yeah, it's sick.
I'm gonna check that out.
Should definitely check it out. Shout him out. He's probably never gonna watch this or see this, but his car's sick. You guys should go like it.
That's what I think is funny, where it's like a couple times we've shouted out people from like Japan.
Yeah.
And it's something where like,
and then they follow. It's crazy.
Or like they just don't ever see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true. That's true.
No
chance. That happens more often than not.
Never see it.
Yeah. Almost every single episode. I'm not gonna say almost every single episode, but I shout out somebody who's probably like super far away, will never see it. I did shout out one person who then did follow me back, and I was like, yo,
oh, there you go.
That's sick.
Damn. Cool.
Yeah.
Keeping in touch. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So what about you, Steven?
So my call out is going to be somebody that I kind of know a little bit as well. He's a builder, and so I'm calling out Smoke Dog Customs. His name's Alan. He is a wild builder, and by builder, I mean, if you've seen some, you've probably seen some of his builds on Toyo Tread Pass at SEMA. He's built some wild stuff. One in particular, the last one he built was the Mercedes AMG G-Wagon 6x6. That was at SEMA, which, insane. One other thing, past builds he's done was the twin Porsche 550 Spiders that were at SEMA and Tread Pass next to each other.
Is he the one
those
who,
as well?
Is he the one who leaves
the money?
Money?
Yeah.
Oh man,
it's that guy. Insane. Yeah.
So he partners with Slang 500.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I know
S Club.
Yes.
Another one is like he this past year he did a Mercedes convertible that was Tesla swapped. Just so, like one other one was a Mercedes Gullwing.
That's what I was gonna say. The Mercedes Gullwing with the leather bags. Yeah.
Like the level of detail that he puts into the builds is absolutely insane. Like he could do everything when it comes to building the car. It's not just like he could only do bodywork or he could only do interior or only do this. He could literally do it all, which is absolutely mind blowing given that he puts in so much detail and craftsmanship into every little thing he does on the car, and it shows. And that's the reason why he shows off the cars at such a high level. And it's just absolutely insane. He's a really cool dude to talk with as well if you ever meet him in person. Definitely give him a follow, and if you're ever at SEMA, you will most definitely see the cars he builds.
If you ever see them in person, don't ask. The money is real.
I took so much of it at Stance Nation. I'm just kidding. It's fake.
So, how about you, Alex?
Oh, jeez. How about me, dog?
How about it, dog? How about it?
I'm going to throw it back further than I've ever thrown it back. I'm throwing it back, dog. This car went viral in, like, 2012, 2013. It is Siomori underscore violent because he's in violent click, unfortunately, but it's still cool. Jeez. It's still cool. It's like just I don't know how to put it, but it's just the most OG, like almost meme vehicle. It was like the first time most people had seen Sudani style stretch or
camber like that.
Yeah, and it's all body work. So it's crazy radius fenders to fit like 19 or 20 inch Werkmeisters. Just doesn't make any sense. On paper, this car should not look good. Somehow just looks insane. Like it looks like a cartoon character to me.
It's a Celica, right?
Yeah, it's a Celica. Did I not say that?
You didn't say that. No.
Rip, sorry. You see it on screen. but yeah, it's not painted right now, or at least it's like a satin gray, which looks like primer. But this car is like pretty much famously never been done. In like the picture that went viral had like a wide body, but it was actually
like hanging off.
No, it was like taped together cardstock that he was using to like shape it.
Like it wasn't made yet.
Yeah. It's, if you were around in this time, in the stance scene or into these cars remotely, you'll see this and be like,
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember
and
that.
You didn't realize it still existed, huh?
Yeah, I didn't realize it was the same one. I think Steven showed me or reminded me or something that this car like still existed. And I was like, oh, that's, yeah.
Like it was like different wheels or different color or something, but it.
This guy paved the way for like a lot of stuff, a lot of like new styles and all that kind of stuff. But
that was probably the first car like I truly saw with like a crazy high radius stance setup.
I remember the first time I saw the wheels on it, I was like, I've never seen someone run wheels that are like that oversized while making the body fit it.
Like when I saw that, I didn't understand or grasp the concept of like high radius the fender. So I was just like,
how?
That's not stock.
Yeah.
Why aren't the wheels tucking?
This is
that doesn't make sense.
The definition of I forgot what I was gonna say. We're gonna cut that part out real quick.
This is the definition of
what was I gonna say?
Stance.
Oh. This is the definition of making the car fit the wheels.
Yeah.
Not the other way around. Not even like just width. Like it's just, it's bananas. You should go check it out.
Yeah.
It's a classic.
It's a classic.
Classic for people with brain cells. You know what I'm saying. It's me and you right here. We're locked in.
Okay.
It's just me and you.
Enough with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's going to wrap it up for
That's going to wrap up this video.
Episode.
Well, hope you guys enjoyed that episode.
Hope you didn't get too
offended.
It
was bound to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, mother. We did this again. We're at the end of the video. We still have not told you guys to subscribe. If you're watching this.
Oh, man. Dang.
If you guys are watching this, please, if you're at the end of this, you might as well subscribe. You've watched the whole thing. You probably enjoyed this a little bit, or we've heated you up enough to the point where you're like, you know what? I got to comment something at these people's things.
Yeah.
So. Seriously, drop a comment. Let us know what you think. Hit the like button, subscribe. I haven't seen enough subscribers.
Follow us on Instagram, follow
Let's
us on TikTok.
See it.
I think that's going to wrap it.
Yeah. Cool, guys.
All right.
Have a good night.
Later.
Or morning.
Peace.
Or afternoon.
Late night.